And then I found out, like, you know, some of my closest and best friends are just straight up libertarian. And we had like a kind of a coming out to each other. Like, I vote libertarian. Oh, I do too. Yay. You know, that sort of thing.
Hey, I'm Paul Dietrich with Reason TV. Today we're talking with Heather Ann Campbell. She's a comedy writer here in Los Angeles. She's written for Saturday Night Live, for Cartoon Network's Incredible Crew. She's performed with, Whose Line Is It Anyway? With Improvaganza, Drew Carey's Improvaganza. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
You're involved in a new program on the Fox Network called ADHD. Can you just explain for us, what is ADHD? Where can we see it?
All right, coming in July, Fox has a block of programming. It's all animated. ADHD stands for Animation, Domination, and High Definition. There are slate of short format shows that will be going up on their late night, Saturday night block. Some of them have already been announced, like, Axe Cop, which is based on a webcomic of the same name that then became a full-length comic. Uh-huh.
And how long are these shows?
These shows are 15 minutes long, I mean, with commercials.
Yeah.
And then I also write most of all of the shorts for online distribution, all the original shorts like Charlie Brown Christmas Reunion or Scientifically Accurate Spider-Man.
Very, very funny. I've seen a lot of it myself. I'm a fan of the animation as well.
It is an amazing team that is all in-house. Like, we don't ship out the animation to anywhere. It's all done in the building.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It reminds me of, like, cartoons that I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except hopefully not as vulgar as the things that you watched as a kid.
Yes, that's true. Yes,
there's a lot of dicks. Yeah. I mean, a lot of dicks in a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, we were actually debating, like, well, should we play it in the background? Because there's a lot of turtle dick.
Yeah, there's a lot of turtle dick. Turtles have giant penises, so.
It's not starting on the internet, but it's definitely being promoted on the internet. It's getting a lot of views from people that just, like, share it around. What do you think is, like, the philosophy of that?
My bosses, Nick Weidenfeld and Bagdaddy, they have a very progressive engagement with the internet community. A lot of
Adult Swim.
Yeah. You know, millennials are very active online.
Yeah.
So they embrace where fandom is created. Like, the epicenter of a fandom is sort of online engagement.
Well, like, what about just generally, like, internet and comedy? How has it changed over the last, like, maybe decade or so?
The internet has sort of given everybody the ability to make comedy. Like, it used to be that unless you had a $15,000 VHS camera and a private theater, that it was impossible to shoot something and bring it to people. And I feel like the internet's been a great equalizer. It shows you at the same time how overvalued creation of comedy is, and then how undervalued good comedy is.
Over the past, like, 30 years or so, comedy has become not just something for laughs, it's become something where it disseminates the news. It's we can confront these serious topics with comedy. Where do you see it going?
It's so funny. I read this MTV study just yesterday. This study said that more kids want to be comedians than they want to be rock stars now. And more kids get their news from comedy than from anywhere else.
Daily Show, Colbert Report,
yeah.
The Onion.
I think that's terrifying. But if you have to couch information in a funny presentation, that's great. I would rather that people learn about the world some way than not learn about it at all. But when you do the news as comedy, your point of view has to be in the sentence. Like, you have to make obvious what it is that you're trying to say about what you're reporting on. Uh-huh. And it's a service to what Jon Stewart specifically finds interesting himself, or, you know, Stephen Colbert or John Oliver or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's the things that they are interested in engaging. It almost is like the traditional news anchor role, you know, the way that anchors used to drive the news as opposed to be a service to whatever the front end of their conglomerate, I don't know,
Okay, you spend a lot of time doing improv. You've done Drew Carey's Improvaganza, you've done Whose Line Is It Anyway. You're sort of a cog in the indie improv community here in Los Angeles. What's the thrill?
Of improv?
Yeah.
I mean, on a, like, I hope this doesn't sound pathetic, but it's so nice to be able to divorce myself from whatever my responsibilities are and become people who are always less responsible than myself. Like, when I'm on stage, I don't have to worry about my deadlines or, you know, the oil leak in my car, I just have to take care of the scene and play and listen and engage my partner. And all of the things that are in my agenda are somewhere off stage. So on a personal, private level, it's just that it's fun to get to be an elf, or it's fun to be, you know, in a burning house or whatever and not have any of it be real.
You can be an astronaut, you can be a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, as long as that doesn't sound crazy, that'll be the answer I stick to.
You're a Reason reader. You're interested in, like, many libertarian ideas, civil liberties being one of them. What's your reaction to this whole National Security Agency surveillance of phones of Americans?
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. I read Cypherpunks by Julian Assange, and he talks about this pre-existing, like, wiretapping surveillance state before any of this information was officially leaked by Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is, I think it's a liability for the government because it's inevitable that something's going to slip through their fingers, and they're just going to be more accountable for not having done anything about it when all of the emails are on a server somewhere that the government has. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, explain that.
Well, unless you have some unfathomably complicated algorithm that can go through huge volumes of information and try and deduce likelihoods, then it's just storage, mm-hmm. you know? And unless there's this, you know, a person connecting those dots, it's just something that's being stored. Mm-hmm. It's like if you were to record on VHS every single CCTV camera in the United States, it's just a tape. Yeah. You know, unless there's somebody going through all that tape. So I think in the future, it's going to be something they wish they hadn't done. Because people will be like, well, you had all this access. Why didn't you do something? And they'll be like, well, we don't know what to do with all the information. We're just keeping it. It's a nightmare. I would love to be clear. It's a nightmare. I'm going to be a Google Glass Explorer. And when the story broke, I was like, oh, man, do I not ever put the goggles on my head?
Yeah.
Like, I was so excited to get my own futuristic heads-up display, and I'm like, it's just going to be broadcasting. It's just going to go see what I see.
It's going to see the weird YouTube videos you watch.
Yeah, and, yeah. I mean, it's if I'm not already flagged for
that's
whatever,
true.
You know.
How do your political interests, how do they affect sketch writing, comedy writing just in general?
There are times where, like with the Obama piece, where it's pretty clear what my point of view politically is, that these guys are kind of the same talking points and they're pursuing the same agendas,
yeah.
That it's obvious. I didn't go into that piece being like, I'm going to write a libertarian sketch.
Yeah.
It was more like, what would be the funniest thing that would happen is, they kind of talked about the same things at the debate last night, so why don't we just literally make them the same person? I don't know how people chose between the two of them. I guess it was just all like buzzwords. Like if Romney hadn't said 47%, he might have won.
And yeah.
What does that mean? So I don't go into pieces thinking, how can I make a libertarian sketch? I never think that.
It's always what's funniest.
Yeah, it's what's funniest. And I think the best way to serve libertarian or political libertarianism is to just do the best work. And then when people find out you're a libertarian, they're like, oh, what does that mean? And then they look it up for themselves. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not...
Don't shove it down people's
throats. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a missionary for anything.
Yeah, like, no. But you do read Reason Magazine, and
yes,
then you transpose everything.
I read Reason Magazine. I read it on my iPad.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are, pro-marijuana legalization, and that prohibition is a nightmare, and that the prison industrial complex is terrible. They won't describe themselves as libertarian, but when you lay out all of their points of view for them, it's like, well, that's what the platform is. And then I found out, like, you know, some of my closest and best friends are just straight up libertarian, and we had like a kind of a coming out to each other, like, I vote libertarian. Oh, I do too, yay! You know, that sort of thing.
Hopefully your Google Glass
and
will be able to watch it one day.
That'll be glassfornot.net. I registered that.
Really?
Of course I did.
Oh my God.
I want to make money, so I'm going to put the videos up and...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll
this
do...
This is what I see.
Yeah. Right. Sketch comedy through glass.